This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in. WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley in for the full episode. You know what that means. It means it's a mock draft mania episode. We're doing them every week leading up to the NFL draft. I believe, Tucker, we're 5 weeks away from the first round of the draft.
Exactly, right? On a Thursday afternoon. I appreciate you coming in. You got to head to Clearwater for your show in an hour or so. But yeah, 5 weeks
to the NFL draft. We are almost there. And, you know, this after the first wave of free agency with the Eagles, you know, now, look, they might do some more things, maybe smaller things. Who knows? Maybe a trade. But, like, this is it now. The next most impactful player they get, likelihood will be the first round of the NFL draft. We know they're at pick 22. So today we're going to NFL.com. Daniel Jeremiah, who I always think is really interesting because he has said before, Tucker, he doesn't mock it like he would. He mocks it how he thinks and what he's hearing. And he's as plugged in as anybody in the NFL.
Which is interesting because I was kind of looking at the positional breakdown of who goes before the Eagles. And if this is how he thinks it's going, I think it proves a really interesting point about kind of the priorities of teams in the NFL.
All right, let's go through this. Quite a number of quarterbacks, as we've seen in a lot of these mock drafts. Number one, and this is becoming almost consensus everywhere. I think it is consensus. Caleb Williams, number one to the Chicago Bears. He had his pro day today, and Keenan Allen, who's now a Bear, was there, like, hanging out with him. So he's obviously a Bear. Number two in this one, it's Drake May, the quarterback out of North Carolina. It's been a lot of Jaden Daniels in a lot of mocks. This one is Drake May to Washington, which means Jaden Daniels, number three, to the New England Patriots. In this one, wow, this, I believe, will be the first time in NFL history. 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterbacks. And this one, it has, Daniel Jeremiah has McCarthy, J.J. McCarthy at number four to Minnesota. So Minnesota jumping up to four with Arizona jumping back to the 11th pick. I mean, this feels like it's set up. I mean, when Minnesota acquired that second first-round pick a few weeks ago, it felt like they're going up for a quarterback.
It felt like when the Eagles drafted Carson Wentz in 2016, right? They figured out how to get up from 11 to 8 and then 8 to 2. It feels like Minnesota's loading up for that. But do you make that move for the fourth best quarterback in the draft?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, now you may think the fourth best quarterback is actually the best quarterback or the second best, and everyone, the teams in front of you got it wrong. But it does feel weird on the surface. Like, we're trading up all this to get the fourth guy off the board.
Yeah, I don't know if I would necessarily do that. Considering, as we talk about four quarterbacks off the top, the best non-quarterback is still available.
And he goes at five. So in this mock draft, and I believe Daniel Jeremiah put this out before the Jets signed Mike Williams. I'm not sure if that actually impacts this because Mike Williams is, you know, damaged goods at this point of his career. But in this draft, Jeremiah has the Jets trading up to number five with the Chargers trading out and the Jets selecting Marvin Harrison Jr. It is pretty wild because if you ask me right now who the best player from the 2024 draft will be, I can make a case it's going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, maybe it's Caleb Williams. Maybe he really is that as good as people say. But if he's not, and Bears quarterbacks never seem to be that good, it could be Marvin Harrison, and he goes 5 in this draft.
Yeah, and it's crazy that, doesn't it feel like wide receivers in the first rounder just can't miss anymore?
They're usually pretty good.
Like, go back a decade, like, to someone like Mike Williams, who you just mentioned. He was viewed as a can't-miss prospect, yep. And he's had a good career, but he hasn't been, you know, multi-time Pro Bowl or All-Pro kind of guy. Guys like Sammy Watkins, who went top 10. Now it feels like every top 10 wide receiver, they do hit.
Well, like the Waddle, Chase, Devontae draft. Like, they've all hit enormously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a draft where it feels like, and a lot of these drafts now, wide receivers are just plug them in. So we got the top 5 in, 4 quarterbacks in Marvin Harrison. As we go down the board here, that off the top, when I see that, 4 quarterbacks and a receiver, it tells me all the defensive players are falling down the board to the Eagles. They're at 22. And it tells me a lot of offensive linemen are going to start falling down the board as well. So as we move through this draft, my dream of Brock Bowers, which I keep talking about, is over at 12. Brock Bowers goes 12 to the Broncos. Michael Penix, 13 to the Raiders. That means 5 quarterbacks in the first 13 picks, a remarkable number here. All right, let's move down to the Eagles pick at 22 and talk about what it would mean if they take this guy. So at number 22, the Eagles select Nate Wiggins, the cornerback out of Clemson. Jeremiah talks about the Eagles' pass defense was atrocious last year. Most natural cover man in the draft. Tucker, he's interesting. He's 6 foot, about 6'1". So he's got the right height, good enough height. But he's 173 pounds. It brings me back to the Devontae Smith conversation. Now, I thought it could hamper him. It hasn't. He's been a very good player. But this is pretty small. I mean, you think about first-round corners over the years. I think Sauce Gardner, about 6'2", 200 pounds. Jalen Ramsey, who was obviously a home run pick, he's like 6'2", 205 pounds. 170 pounds for a corner is pretty small. Now, the other side of that, though, is he was a 4.28 in the 40-yard dash. So this kid can run, even though he's a little bit lighter than most.
Yeah, and I wonder if the Eagles are more interested in someone who's lighter and quicker because their defense, especially their defensive backfield, has kind of been the opposite, right? Like, they've loaded up on bigger, more physical corners, and it really hasn't worked all that well. They don't necessarily have a true slot guy right now. C.J. Gardner-Johnson could play that part. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a world where they view this kid as quick enough to play both on the outside and possibly follow wide receivers into the slot. Like, that's something they've struggled with when they play big wide receivers. Like, think back to the Rams game, right, where they kept moving Kupp and Puka Nacua into the slot and basically beating the Eagles again.
Who was there? Was that Bradley Roby?
I think it was before Bradley Roby. Yeah. That might have been the game that got them to sign Bradley Roby. But I think adding someone like this talent who can take over on the outside and take Slay's spot or Bradbury's spot, who I think is going to be here just for financial reasons, but he can carry the water on the sideline and, you know, save the team $6 million. I think this is a kid who could play both on the outside or maybe, you know, stick in the slot for a little bit as he tries to you know, get his feet under him in the NFL.
So if you ask me right now, like, what I think they should pick in the first round, independent of the player, just the position, offensive line or defensive back stand out to me as things they really do need to focus on the first round. So I like the idea, and I know they've done some good things so far this offseason. I think people would be generally, they feel better about the Eagles now than they did 2 weeks ago. But they really haven't much addressed their biggest weakness last year, which was stopping the pass. I know Bryce Huff will help with that, but I mean just the secondary. All they've added is CJGJ, who I like a lot, but he's had issues staying healthy. I'm not sure if he's going to play the slot or he's going to play safety. Their other safety is still right now probably Reed Blankenship. And their corner situation, Tucker, it stinks right now. I mean, Bradbury looks like he's cooked. Slay could still play, but he's on the wrong side of 30. So,
and he's coming off a big injury.
Yes, he is. How long will he be able to play at a high level or at least a decent level? And slot right now, you're right, they don't have anything. I know some people are really excited about Isaiah Rodgers. Every time this comes up, someone sends me a message or says, like, you don't talk about him. Well, okay, that he's a wild card. But he hasn't played football in a year. So, I mean, sometimes it takes guys a little while to get back in the rhythm of the sport. So I can't count on Isaiah Rodgers.
No, I mean, he'll be a fun story in training camp. But I just, how often do guys take a year off and then they come back and don't miss a beat, right? It's almost never. And the guys who do it are, you know, absolutely world-class all-pro players. And Isaiah Rodgers wasn't necessarily that before his suspension. Now, the fact that it isn't an injury does maybe make me a little bit more optimistic because he isn't coming off something that could have zapped his athleticism.
Right.
But yeah, I think secondary right now is their biggest issue. Look at, you know, where they've poured their resources in this offseason. It's been at running back. It's been at the edge. Like, they've try to address their major needs. But like you, I mean, their biggest issue is they were the worst pass defense in football last year. And, you know, in 2022, they did really well against bad quarterbacks and they struggled against good ones. Last year, they struggled against bad ones too, right? Like Sam Howell ate their lunch both times he played.
He torched them.
Mac Jones looked like a, you know, Pro Bowl player in week one, and everyone thought this is going to be the breakout Mac Jones year. He lost his job like four times the rest of the season. I look at that secondary right now, and if they're just hoping they get a bounce back year from those guys, I don't think they're the right age or right spot for that to happen.
Yeah, in retrospect, we should have known in week one last year that this defense was in trouble. When Mac Jones was putting up 370 and probably was a guy keeping his foot in bounds away from beating them in week one, there were some troubling signs there. All right, so the other side of this, the other thing that jumps to my mind, and again, I'm good with drafting a corner. Nate Wiggins, 4'2", 840. He seems like a guy that could come in and start pretty quickly in the NFL, and they need that speed. But Tucker, I have trepidation, do you, about their track record drafting corners. I mean, they haven't drafted one in the first round since Lito Shepard, which is a long time ago now. It was around this same pick. I think it was like 26 with Lito. This is 22. So it kind of fits that. But they haven't drafted corners well here. It's not Howie's forte. He's been much better at going to find corners, like find a Darius Slay, find a Bradbury on the cheap, than he is drafting them. I mean, the track record, you know, Eric Rowe. I mean, you go back to Sidney Jones. You know, in retrospect, Rasul Douglas was not a bad draft pick. He's had a good NFL career. It just didn't happen here. That does worry me a little bit. This feels like something they're not good at.
Yeah, and I think for me, I mean, first of all, what positions are they good at? Like offensive line.
Defensive
line.
They've
been pretty good at defensive line, and that's really about it. Like,
I guess they're pretty good at quarterback when they take them, right?
When they take, like, they've had more hits than misses.
Hurts, yeah.
No matter, you know. They haven't hit the home run franchise quarterback, but they've had enough guys win enough games. Yeah. They're okay with that. But what I think is fascinating, and the way this draft board kind of fell, I'm okay with them taking Wiggins, because if this is how Jeremiah views the NFL and what they're thinking, I mean, just look at how offensive heavy the picks are ahead of them, right? We mentioned the first four picks are quarterbacks. The next two are wide receivers. I think from 10 through 21, six picks are offensive linemen, both tackles and interior guys. I think there's two edge rushers, and then I think the Eagles get the third cornerback. But
I think of the first 14 picks, 12 are offensive players.
And the two that aren't are both edge rushers, right? Which, it's cliche, and it's something that's been said over and over again. The NFL is a passing league.
Yep.
I think this just proves it. Like, every single person taken from picks 1 through 22, and even if we go beyond it, right, we get another offensive lineman, two offensive linemen, a wide receiver, another edge rusher, and then finally get a defensive tackle at 27. Every team is loading up trying to either improve their passing offense or try and stop other teams from passing against them.
And the Eagles couldn't do it last year. I mean, as much as they've improved and they got Bryce Huff to help with the pass rush, we'll see what they do with Hassan Reddick and if they keep him or not. Like, their biggest issue last year was the ball was thrown over their head. You mentioned, I think to the Sam Howell games a lot. I mean, Sam Howell is a backup-ish quarterback, maybe a fringe starter in the NFL. Just got traded to Seattle to be that with them. He torched them. I mean, two games last year, and it was they couldn't stop Sam Howell.
No, and there are times where that happened when they were winning, and we just said, well, it doesn't matter. They outscored them. They took them lightly, but, I mean, that was part of their unraveling, right? Yeah. Think back to the Seahawks game. They lost that game because finally they just let Drew Lock throw the ball down the field, and he found DK Metcalf four times on that final drive. Like, finally they just let the guy throw the ball, and then they torched them, I think. If they had, you know, taken the handcuffs off earlier, probably could have also thrown for 370 that game.
Definitely.
And that's something where, you know, we mentioned, you know, sort of towards the beginning of last year, that what Bill Belichick did defensively against the Eagles offense and how that worked and how that really set them up for failure down the line. You don't think teams are looking at the Eagles secondary, and if they run it back with the same guys, they aren't going to just basically do bombs away. They aren't going to go max protect. Even if Hassan Reddick is back, Josh Sweat is back, you add Bryce Huff, like, even if that pass rush is more potent than it was a year ago, and it looks closer than, you know, to the 2022 version.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can just keep two tight ends in and have, you know, two or three guys running deep routes and just wait for them to get open.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about the teams they're going to play next year and the quarterbacks they're going to play. They're going to face, and then this is without diving all fully in, I just think they're going to face more competent quarterbacks next year. They got to face some bad ones this year, like Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. Next year, I know they're playing the Falcons. Kirk Cousins is there now. They're playing the Browns, the AFC North. There's some good quarterbacks they're going to face. So the last thing I think on this, and this is critical, let's just say that first round comes down to corner or offensive line. we have to hope the Eagles are right about last year's evaluation and what they have. And what I mean by that is, like, they have Tyler Steen in the building. Is he ready to start, or do they need an offensive lineman? They also have, like we mentioned, Isaiah Rodgers, Keely Ringo, Eli Ricks. There is a world, Tucker, and I don't know if this is the right decision, where they look at those young corners and they say, we think they could play. Ringo, Ricks, Rodgers. We don't need to spend a first round. But like, they have to be right about the guys they have in the building, because that really will dictate the pick, maybe more than anything else.
Yeah, and the other thing to think about is sort of their track record with what they use their first round picks on. They never use them on an immediate need. Really.
They rarely do.
They rarely do. Like, maybe Devontae Smith was the one exception. But other than that, usually when they take a guy like Jordan Davis, like Nolan Smith, like Jalen Carter,
down the line.
It's down the line. It's guys who might have an impact in year one, but we're expecting them to take over year two, three, four, and beyond. And I think taking an offensive lineman, there isn't necessarily a starting spot available right now, depending on how you feel about Tyler Steen taking over right guard. So I kind of look at that being, you know, more of their forte. Like, that's what their track record usually says, is we're going to take a guy who we think can be great in year two and beyond, as opposed to we need to take a cornerback now who can fill in from day one, even if we aren't as confident in his ability to be that great down the line.
Yeah, 22 is a weird spot in this draft. It feels like they could be a trade up, they could be a trade back, because the board could dictate a lot of how this goes. We appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. Back with an episode tomorrow and another Mock Draft Mania next week. Thanks so much for watching and listening.